So get your Bibles and turn to Genesis. It's an easy one to find. I picked up a book the other day that somebody had, and it was on the holiness of God. And you know, a couple places in the Word, God says, "I am holy, therefore ye be holy." And this guy talks about the holiness of God, and then he talks, but the focus was on sin, you know, and how you have to deal with sin in your life. And I thought, okay, I don't really want to be sin conscious. I want to be God conscious. I want to look at God. I know I'm going to sin, and when I do, I want to recognize it, and I want to thank God for cleansing me, forgiving me, but I want to move on. I don't want to dwell on sin. And I thought about the, you know, he did talk about the goodness of God, and that's great. But then he talked about how God hates sin. So the implication is if you're sinning, God hates what you're doing. And it says, you know, in Ephesians that we're holy and without blame before him, right? So anyway, I was thinking about, you know, the different attributes of God. And one of the things we're going to look at here in Genesis 22 is the Lord provides, or the Lord. It's in this section where Abraham takes his son to sacrifice him. And in verse 13, it says, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes," you know, he took Isaac, and they went on this three-day journey to Mount Moriah, which we believe is where Jerusalem is, and the Temple Mount. And he takes them there, and he you know, lays his son on an altar that he built, and he's going to kill him and light the fire. And he picks up the knife, and God stops him. And then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, or Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So Jehovah Jireh means the Lord sees, or the Lord provides. He sees what we need. You know, sometimes we don't even know we need something, and he provides it. Sometimes you go, "I didn't believe for that," but it's there. You know, that's how great God is, how good he is. God has always watched over his people from the very beginning of time. And as we read through unto Revelation till the end of time, he will always look over his people. He protects them, and he provides whatever they need. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3. It's right before Matthew. Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. Last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. And this is a really important verse in the Bible, because it says, "For I am the Lord," and that's Jehovah. Jehovah is what? God in his relationship to the creation, as opposed to Elohim, which refers to Almighty God, or God the Creator. So Jehovah has to do with God and his relationship to what he's created, which we are a part of that creation, right? It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." He doesn't change. He's always the same. So as he, you know, as his desire was in the very beginning, his desire for man in the very beginning was to bless, to provide everything necessary to give us authority and dominion in our lives. And that has never changed. That's always been God's desire for us to, you know, to be blessed. and to take care of us and to have what we need. Let's go to Romans. So God is a good God. You know, we always have to keep that in mind. God is a good God, and he's a fair God and a merciful God and a loving God. And he loves all his people. He does not lie. He does not forget. He does not forsake his own. You know, he remembers us always. Remember, what does it say about we're like palms are graven, you know, and we're always before him. He does. Now, you know, a woman could forget her sucking child. It would be difficult. But God never forgets his people. Now, he will forget our sin, won't he? He puts them away from us. He covers them. He eradicates them. But he knows what's going on in our lives, and he knows what we need. You know, he knows what we need probably long before we know what we're going to need. And our biggest need in the very beginning was a Savior. That was our biggest need. That was the most important need that we ever had in our life. Was that we had a Savior, and so God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. In chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." The word saved in verse 9 is sozo, and the word salvation in verse 10 is a form of that word. So when we get born again, that word means to be made whole, right? Well, the first part of being whole is God created Adam and Eve as body, soul, and spirit. And then when Adam sinned, he lost spirit, right? So when we get born again, we're made whole, we get spirit again. So we are once again a threefold being of body, soul, and spirit. So we have received spirit once again, and that's great. And then we are also forgiven, and all our sins are remissed. They're washed away. Not just the sins of the past, not just our sin nature, but all sins. You know, because Jesus Christ is a complete Savior. He's not just a part-time Savior or a Savior for the moment. You know, my niece is married to a guy that once was a rescue swimmer for the Coast Guard. You know, and he'd dive in, as nuts as it sounds, into the water in the ocean in a storm and swim and save people. It's, you know, to me, that's nuts. But he's a one-time savior. He does it once, right? It's done. But then, you know, the next week that person could walk in front of a truck or... But Jesus Christ is a complete Savior, and he has saved us, and he's paid the price for all our sins, for all time. What a great thing. So we are cleansed because of his shedding of his perfect blood. And by his stripes, we were healed. We were physically and mentally and spiritually made whole. And that is always available to us, you know, to be made whole. That deliverance. What a great God. Let's go to 1 Peter. God provides. So whatever area of life we need help, he's there. My wife and I, we just drove home this morning from Harrisburg. We got up early and we had to drive home to be here because we had to go out there for a couple of reasons. But anyway, we were talking about, my wife said, how did we ever afford to go to the Rock of Ages for a week? You know, we had a couple of kids. I didn't make a lot of money. I was running a branch, you know, and I didn't get any financial help at all. And somehow every year I didn't get paid vacations, you know, or any of that stuff. And we'd rent an RV. We'd be there for 2 weeks. Because we had to go to Core Week and then the Rock of Ages. And I said, I don't know, God just took care of it. The money was there when we needed it. First couple of years we were married, we didn't have any health insurance. Stella got sick when she was pregnant with Jeffrey at 7 months. And we got this, at the time, seemed like an enormous bill. Today it's would be, wow, that's pretty cheap. But at the time, it was a lot of money, and we were in Ohio. And so they made arrangements for us to pay it, and they said, how much can you pay? I said, $50 a month. They said, okay. I would have been paying for the next 15 years, but they said, okay. And it was a United Fund.
United Way.
United Way organization. You know, they had many different, I don't even know if they still exist, do they? I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, so then all of a sudden, a year and a half down the road, they went out of business and they passed this on to another nonprofit organization to help people. And then after about 2 months, those guys wrote me a letter and they said, well, we just wiped your debt off the book. You know, God provided. God provided. You know, he always provided every time. I mean, I can't even imagine how we did some of the things we did or survived some of the things or paid our bills. But we always did because God provides. What a great God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. We should live unto righteousness, to do our best to live according to God's word. You know, righteously, justly, according to God's standard. By whose stripes we were healed. So that's the two parts, right? His shed blood paid for the price of our sins. And so therefore we should appreciate that and live righteously to the best of our ability. And two, by his stripes, by what he paid physically, we are healed. Now, are we going to get sick? Well, yeah, sometimes we do. You know, we are none of us perfect in our believing. Darn it. And, you know, when you're young or you first get in the Word, you go, yeah, I'm going to believe and nothing's ever going to happen to me. And then something happens to you and you go, what? You know, and that's the devil, because he wants you to doubt God, or he wants you to make you think that God is unfair or unjust, or he has decided not to bless your life. And that's a lie. God always loves us. He's always watching over us. He always takes care of us. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ refers to what it says in the beginning of the chapter in the verses 1 through 4, where it talks about the gospel of God, and it's concerning his son, Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the resurrection from the dead. So that's the gospel of Christ. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation. Again, that's the same word, salvation, wholeness. It can be also translated deliverance. You know, whatever you need to be delivered from, God can deliver you. You know, it's not just physical, it's not just mental, it's not just spiritual, it's everything. Everything and anything. God can deliver us. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to also to the Greek. It means to everyone that believes, right? Anyone that believes, God will deliver. God will bring wholeness. He will help. He will heal. He will do whatever he needs. Let's go to Psalm 3. Third Psalm. And verse 8. It's the last verse. It says, salvation. It's the Hebrew word for salvation, but it's what it's talking about, wholeness, deliverance. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. And then in the NIV, it reads, From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. God's always looking to bless his people. The only reason that God's people don't get blessed is because they don't receive it, or they don't accept it, or they turn their back. You know, Israel, you think about Israel. Israel, you know, sometimes we make fun of them, or we say, wow, look at those guys. They saw those miracles and they didn't believe. Well, we do the same thing. Because we're the same, we're people, right? We have human nature. We're just like everybody else. We have the same weaknesses, the same temptations, the same everything. But we have Holy Spirit. You know, we have eternal life, and we can't lose what God has given us. And he says that salvation belongs to God. It comes from God. And he always blesses his people. Let's go to Psalm 61. What a great God. You know, you think about the religions of the world, and they're based on works. Now, that's not to say that we're not to do things, right? We're, you know, talks in James about being doers of the word. We're to do the word. But we don't sit in fear of sin. And every time we sin, we don't beat ourselves over the head and say, I'm such a rotten person. Why doesn't God's never going to do anything for me again. You know, because that's what religions are. They're all based on or sin-centered. And when you're so busy thinking about sin, you're too busy to walk with God and do what God wants you to do. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee. This is a psalm of David. He says, you know, from the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What a cool thing, you know. Lead me to the rock. You know, the rock represents God that's higher than me. And he's got the answers. You know, sometimes we just think, oh, I can do this, it's no problem. We need God. We need God in everything we do all the time. We always need God in our lives. you know, it says in Ephesians, before we got born again, we were without God and without hope in this world. That's what it says. It's true. but God loves us. After we're born again and we're made whole, we are delivered from the power of darkness. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of or by his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness or remission of sins. He's delivered us. Again, what's the deliverance? He's made us whole. He's saved us from the power of darkness, right? And the world is full of what?
Darkness.
People prayed for it today. You know, the light dispels darkness. Just the tiniest bit of light will dispel darkness. You know, they talk about the black holes in outer space. I don't really understand that, but they don't understand it either, no. You know, it's all theory. But light dispels darkness. And, you know, when they first put up the Hubble telescope, now they put up another one, right? It's even further. And they see things in outer space they never even dreamed of. You know, and it goes on and on. They can't even see the end of the universe. But we know what it says in the Bible. You know, and God created it all. And he is light. And in him is no darkness at all, no shadow of turning. And he has delivered us from the darkness. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. God will provide. God sees. He knows what we need. He knows that we need help all the time. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's life. That's the fact of life. You know, as much as you need the air you breathe, somebody prayed that. Billy prayed it about that. Thanks God for the air and or something like that. You know, as much as we need to breathe the air all the time, we need God's help all the time. And he's the one that provides the air. So chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, is not in the text, but you who were dead in trespasses and sins, were in time past. You know, before you got born again, or before you understood the word of God, you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And you know, all the devil, all Satan wants to do is manipulate people, right? He wants to manipulate them. He wants to talk them out of the truth. He wants them to deny God and worship him. Now, most people, I mean, there are a few people out there that worship him overtly. You know, there is a thing called the Church of Satan. And, you know, as nutty as it sounds, and there's people that are into witchcraft and black arts and all that stuff. But the devil is sly, and he knows that most people are not going to do that. So what does he try to get us to do? He tries to get us to worship other things. And it always has to do with needs, right? It always has to do with things that we think will satisfy us or bring us happiness or will take care of us in some way so that we end up worshiping, you know, things, money, power, you know, different stuff that make us feel better. Okay? But what we really need is God. And we really need to know that the devil can't manipulate us because we have power over him. We have authority. We don't have to deal with him. It says somewhere in the Word, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So, among whom also we all had our conversation, you know, our way of life, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now, you know, the word lust is an interesting word because I didn't do a study on it, but I know what it means. And it means you want something beyond what you should normally want it. In other words, or, you know, the lust of the flesh is more than what you really need, right? It's an over desire. It's a hunger that you can't be sated. You just got to have more and more. You know, enough for every man is more than he has, right? You think, wow, I can remember I thought, wow, if I ever made $1,000 a week, I'd have it made. And that, you know, now you can barely make a living. But, you know, that's the way it is. Oh, if I had that kind of car, man, that'd be the greatest. And then you get that and you say, well, I'd really like to have something better. When we were at the beach a couple of weeks ago, I walk every morning at 8 o'clock and there's this, I do this one route and I get up early so I can walk in the shade. You walk on the shade side of the street. And there's this one house and it's beachfront. And it has two drivers. In the first driveway, it had a Bentley SUV. And then on the other side of the driveway, it had a Bentley convertible. How much money is that, those two cars worth alone? You know? Ridiculous. I couldn't afford the insurance for him. You know, but lust is more than we need. Now, he may need them. I don't know. I can't judge that guy. Maybe he needs them. Or maybe he gets them as a benefit or something. But we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. And that really relates back to what? Sense knowledge. Sense knowledge, not according to the God, word of God, not spiritually being spiritually minded or looking to the things of God. but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, made whole, by grace. It wasn't because you were a goody-two-shoes. It wasn't because you were so perfect. It wasn't because you fulfilled all the necessities of doing good works and taking care of charitable things and, you know, Mother Teresa and all that stuff. It was because of grace that you believed. I mean, she's probably a great woman. I don't know. She gave her life to serving people. But my point is, you don't do those things to get saved. It's by grace. You believe God, and He makes us whole. He makes us whole. And it, you know, we all have needs. You could have all the money in the world and be miserable. The greatest example, not the greatest example of me, but a great example would be Howard Hughes. You know, he was considered the richest man in the world one time. Or John Paul Getty, you know, an oil guy that was worth billions of dollars. And he was miserable, a miserable person. Yeah, it was a nut job. And so was Howard Hughes. They were both nuts, you know, and they never were happy about anything. But they always had to accumulate more. You know, it was the lust of the flesh. It wasn't anything to do with God. And their needs were never really met because they always were searching for something. That intangible, which is the simplest, greatest thing in the world, which is God's love, which is available to anybody that will come to Him in belief. And then when you come to God and you accept God's love, then your needs are met. What a great God. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Wow. In the ages to come, He's just going to bless us and bless us and bless us. We're not going to have any needs. He's just going to take care of us. And, you know, it's beyond imagination. Let's go to chapter 3. I want to read one more verse and we'll quit. Well, we'll stop. We won't quit. But it says, well, it says here in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, to understand with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, if we just really understood the breadth and the length and the depth of God's love for us through Christ Jesus, you know, we'd never, we wouldn't be sad ever. We wouldn't waver. We wouldn't doubt anything. We would just, and then it says, and I love this verse, now unto Him, unto God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, He does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Did you ever ask God for something and He'd get more?
Yeah.
He all the time He does that. You know, I thought about Abraham was so wanted to have a child, and, you know, discounting Ishmael, he had Isaac. But then afterward, he had more kids, right? Or Hannah. Hannah just wanted one boy, and she said, if you give me a child, God, I'll give him to you. You know, and then that child was what? A great blessing. Yeah, and I think she had more kids, didn't she? Yeah. So unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. He doesn't just meet our needs. He does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, if when you got into the Word, you know, I remember we used to go around, we'd witness and we'd go to somebody and say, if you could have anything in the world, what would you want? Did you ever do that? And people will say, oh, $1 million or a new car, or sometimes they'll say something like, well, I'd really like somebody to love and love me. But they never say righteousness. They never say sanctification. Very rarely will they ever say eternal life. Or to know that I know that I know that I'm born again. Or I'd really like to understand and know my Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, look at all what God has given us in his word and what he's promised us. So it says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, which is, you know, that power of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And because Christ is in us, we can believe like Christ believed, right? We can receive that information from God and we can walk out on it and believe it. Unto him, unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.